Blessings, miracles, and peace to you today. I am Reverend Rick, also known as the Collared Carpenter. Today we are talking all things Mary. That's right. We are preparing for the Dormition of Mary, the Mother of God, Theotokos, and there's some pretty amazing stories that you're going to want to hear, so stay tuned.
Welcome. Today we have Reverend Rick Saff, who is a Western Rite Orthodox priest in Texas, who loves sharing conversations on faith, divine mystery, and all things awesome. And now for this week's episode with Rick.
Okay, so today we're talking about Mary Most Holy. And for some, this automatically churns some negative thoughts, and by all means, I do not want this to turn into a debate in the comments down below, but I really want you to open your hearts to listen to the message today, so that God can touch your heart, that the Holy Spirit can reveal to you what was so special about Mary's role in salvation history. So some of this information today is coming straight out of the Bible. Other parts are coming from the Orthodox Church in America's website. In the show notes down below, you will be able to find links so you can even read more about this, and even try to find some of the original writings dating back to the first century outside of the Bible, that talk about Mary's role in the church and what happened to her. So what's so special about Mary, and why is there such a devotion to her? That's where I really want to explore today and come to a better understanding of Mary's role in our life, because it plays a role in salvation history, and guess what? We are part of that salvation history also. So if you open up your Bibles, we're looking at Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent an angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Footnote right here. This is where the prayer of to the Virgin Mary comes from. So for those of you who don't know, the Hail Mary full of grace, the Lord is with you. This comes straight out of Scripture. And remember, we're reading Scripture from Luke because Luke had the ability to conduct interviews with those that had experienced Jesus. And so many of Luke's descriptions, many of Luke's accounts came from eyewitness testimony. And so more than likely he did interview Mary to be able to give us this account. Mary was greatly troubled at the angel's words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him a throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdoms will never end." But she said, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is now in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." And Mary's response, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be done unto me as you have said." And then the angel left her. So from the beginning, her role is so very important. Her call was, "You will conceive and bear the Messiah. Are you ready?" And in her teenageness, she said, "Yes. May it be done unto me." She accepted her role in that salvation history. Her role, as prophesied in Genesis, where the woman's heel will crush the head of the serpent. Her role will be against evil and against Satan, against his lies, against his trickery, against all that goes against God's omnipotence. And this is why there's such an interplay between Mary and the devil. She is of human. She is not angelic. She wasn't born of the angels. She wasn't of high. And so for Lucifer, this is the ultimate insult. A human is higher than her, than him. It's that pride against God that cast Lucifer out of heaven, along with a third of the angels that followed him. So how does all this play into the dormition or the falling asleep of Mary? Well, she lived her life. She answered God's call. She followed the law. She raised a child. She was a mom. And then she witnessed the miracles. Matter of fact, she helped institute one of the first miracles, the feast of the wedding Cana. "Do whatever my son tells you to do," she told the servants. Jesus said, "This isn't my time yet." She said, "Please help." She watched her son suffer and die on a cross, tortured to death for a role. A role that was revealed to her by an angel. A role that was revealed to her husband Joseph in dreams. A role that was revealed to her as she experienced miracle after miracle after miracle in those 3 years of ministry that he had. She was convinced, just as three astrologers and kings from the East were convinced, that he is special. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He went above and beyond to give us a forever in paradise. So, at the cross, Jesus tells John, this is your mother, and to Mary, mother, this is your son. From that day forward, John the theologian, John the evangelist, he took care of Mary, the mother of God. For 10 years, they ministered there in Jerusalem to the Jews and to the Gentiles alike. But there was persecution. There was problems and safety concerns by staying in Jerusalem. And so they headed to Ephesus, where they preached, and John headed the church in Ephesus for many, many years. Mary also visited to Cyprus. This is where Lazarus, the best friend of Jesus, who was risen from the dead, Mary and Martha's brother, was bishop ruling over the area. That's right. Lazarus became a bishop. He wasn't just a follower of Christ, he helped head the church for Christ. Mary also visited Mount Athos, realizing what special this place would play in history. She was a very busy woman, but she wanted to make sure that everyone knew just what her son did for them. Now, Saint Ambrose of Milan also wrote one of his works that was called On Virgins, concerning the Mother of God. And he said, she was a virgin not only in body, but also in soul, humble of heart, circumspect in words, wise in mind, not overly given to speaking, but a lover of reading and of work, and of prudent in speech. Her rule of life was to offend no one, to intend good for everyone, to respect the aged, not envy others, avoid bragging, being healthy of mind, and to love virtue. All her days she was concerned with fasting. She slept only when necessary, and even then, when her body was at rest, she was still alert in spirit, repeating in her dreams what she had read or the implementation of proposed intentions or of those planned anew. She was out of her house only for church, and then only in the company of relatives. Otherwise, she seldom appeared outside of her house in the company of others. She was her own best overseer. Others could protect her only in body, but she guarded herself in character. In conversations with others, she preserved decorum and neither becomes silly nor agitated, and indeed especially never angry. Without artifice and direct, she was not overly concerned about herself and far from pampering herself. she was distinctly full of humility. Regarding her clothing, which she wore, she was satisfied to have natural colors. So at the time of her dormition or falling asleep, the Most Holy Virgin Mary again was in Jerusalem. Her fame as the Mother of God had already spread throughout the land and had aroused many of the envious and spiteful against her. They wanted to make attempts on her life, but God preserved her from the enemies. Day and night she spent her time in prayer. The Most Holy Theotokos, or Mother of God, went often to the Holy Sepulchre of the Lord. This is the burial tomb of Jesus. And here she offered up fervent prayer. More than once, enemies of the Savior sought to hinder her from visiting her holy place. And they asked the high priest for a guard to watch over the grave of the Lord. The Holy Virgin continued to pray right in front of them, yet was unseen by anyone. In one such visit to Golgotha, the Archangel Gabriel appeared to her and announced her the approaching departure from this life into eternal life. The Most Holy Virgin prayed that the Lord would have John the Apostle come to her. The Holy Spirit transported him from Ephesus, setting him in that very place where the Mother of God lay. After the prayer, the Most Holy Virgin offered incense, and John heard a voice from heaven, closing her prayer with the word, Amen. The Mother of God took it that that voice meant the speedy arrival of the apostles and disciples. The faithful, whose number by then was impossible to count, gathered together, says Saint John of Damascus, like clouds and eagles to listen to the Mother of God. Seeing one another, the disciples rejoiced, but in their confusion they asked each other while the Lord had gathered them together in one place. Remember the persecution and the fear of being caught, crucified, tortured for the faith. Saint John, though, greeted them all with tears of joy and said the time of the Virgin's repose was at hand. Going in to the Mother of God, they beheld her lying upon the bed and filled with spiritual joy. The disciples greeted her, and then they told her how they all had been carried miraculously from their places of preaching, and the Most Holy Virgin Mary glorified God because he had heard her prayer and fulfilled her heart's desire, and she began speaking about her imminent end. During this conversation, the Apostle Paul also appeared in a miraculous manner together with his disciple Dionysius, Timothy, and others. The Holy Spirit had gathered them all together so they might be granted the blessing of the all-pure Virgin Mary, and, more fittingly, to see to the burial of the Mother of the Lord. She called each of them to herself by name. She blessed them. She extolled them for their faith and the hardship that they endured preaching the gospel of Christ. To each she wished eternal bliss and prayed with them for peace and welfare of the whole world. When the third hour, or 9 a.m., had come, a number of candles were burning, and the holy disciples surrounded her beautifully adorned bed, offering praise to God. She prayed in anticipation of her demise and of the arrival of her longed-for Son and Lord. Suddenly, an inexpressible light of divine glory shone forth, before which the blazing candles paled in comparison. All who saw it took fright. Descending from heaven was Christ, the King of Glory, surrounded by hosts of angels and archangels and heavenly powers, together with the souls of the forefathers and the prophets who have prophesied in ages past concerning the Most Holy Virgin Mary. Seeing her Son, the Mother of God exclaimed, "My soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly estate of his handmaiden." And rising from her bed to meet the Lord, she bowed down before him, and the Lord bid her enter into a life eternal. Without any bodily suffering, as though in happy sleep, the Most Holy Virgin Mary gave her soul to the hands of her Son and God. Then began a joyous angelic song, accompanied the pure soul of the God betrothed with reverent awe for the Queen of Heaven. The angels exclaimed, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, for lo, the Queen, God's maiden, comes. Lift up the gates, and with the everlasting one take up the Mother of Light, for through her salvation has come all the human race. It is impossible to gaze upon her, and it is impossible to render her due honor." The heavenly gates were raised, and meeting the soul of the Most Holy Mother of God, the cherubim, the seraphim, glorified her with joy. The face of the Mother of God was radiant with the glory of divine virginity, and from her body there came a sweet fragrance. Kissing the all-pure body with reverence and in awe, the disciples in turn were blessed by it, filled with grace and spiritual joy. Through the great glorification of the Most Holy Theotokos, the almighty power of God healed the sick, who with faith and love touched the holy bed. Bewailing their separation from the Mother of God, the apostles prepared to bury her all-pure body. The holy apostles Peter and Paul, James, and of the other 12 carried the funeral bier upon their shoulders. They laid the body of the ever-Virgin Mary. Saint John went at the head, with palm branch in hand, and the other saints, and a multitude of the faithful accompanied the funeral bier with candles and censers, singing sacred songs. This solemn procession went from Sion through Jerusalem to the Garden of Gethsemane. With the start of this procession, there suddenly appeared over the all pure body of the Mother of God and all those accompanying her a resplendent circular cloud like a crown. There was heard the singing of the heavenly powers glorifying the Mother of God, which echoed that of the worldly voices singing. This circle of heavenly singers and radiance accompanied the procession to the very place of burial. Unbelieving inhabitants of Jerusalem, taken aback by this extraordinarily grand funeral procession, and vexed at the honor accorded to the Mother of Jesus, complained of this to the high priest and scribes. Burning with envy and vengefulness towards everything that reminded them of Christ, they sent out their own servants to disrupt the procession and to set the body of the Mother of God afire. An angry crowd and soldiers set off against the Christians, but the circular cloud accompanied the procession, descended, and surrounded them like a wall. The pursuers heard the footsteps and the singing, but could not see any of those accompanying the procession. Indeed, many of them were struck blind. The Jewish priest Athanasius, out of spite and hatred for the Mother of Jesus of Nazareth, wanted to topple the funeral bier on which the body lay of the Most Holy Virgin Mary. But an angel of God invisibly cut off his hands, which had touched the bier. Seeing such a wonder, Athanasius repented, and with faith confessed the majesty of the Mother of God. He received healing and joined the crowd, accompanied the body of the Mother of God, and became a zealous follower of Christ. When they reached the Garden of Gethsemane, then amidst the weeping and the wailing began the last kiss of the all pure body. Only towards the evening were the apostles able to place it in the tomb, seal the entrance to the cave with a large stone. For 3 days they did not depart from the burial place, praying and chanting psalms. Through the wise providence of God, the apostle Thomas was not to be present at the burial of the Mother of God, arriving late yet again. On the third day at Gethsemane, he laid down at the tomb and with bitter tears asked that he might be permitted to look once more upon the Mother of God and bid her farewell. The apostles, out of heartfelt pity for Thomas, decided to open the grave and permit him the comfort of venerating the holy relics of the ever Virgin Mary. Having opened the grave, they found in it only the grave wrappings and were convinced of the bodily ascent of the Most Holy Virgin Mary to heaven. So you might wonder why I read so much of that today. It is because Mary's role is so very important in the life of the Christian faith. And for those of you that balk at it or say that it is idol worship. I do not want you to be another Athanasius. I want you to come to believe in what her true role was in salvation history. She not only mothered our Lord Jesus Christ, but she mothered the early church. She mothered the apostles and disciples. She gave an example of holiness. She gave an example of righteousness. And she gave up her life to be with her son in heaven, the Queen of Heaven. That's right. Remember, the queen is always the mother of the king. She was the one that in medieval times would hear the pleas of the people and take those pleas to the king and say, hey, you need to help this town. Hey, you need to help this people. Her role in heaven, as extolled by the angels, is to be there for us. She calls us her children. And Satan hates that. Satan hates the fact that we in our humanity will be able to be forever in paradise, to be in communion with God, and he will not. He chose that separation. He chose that inability to be with God. But Mary calls us, even through the shouts of the devil, come closer to my son, come closer to my son, come closer to my son. Pray, repent, change, pray, repent. Some have, many have not. She wants you to be in heaven. She does not want you to be in hell. The early apostles want you to be in heaven. The early apostles died so that you could have a choice to choose God or to choose Satan. There's no in-between. There's no, oh, well, we'll see how it goes. There's no, I close my eyes and there's nothing. For those that believe that, I'm sorry. And if I am wrong about that, then you have a future then to be reincarnated as something else. But my belief, the belief of the church, the belief for century upon century, has been in heaven, has been in communion with God. And I'd much rather be right and be in heaven and even be wrong and it be worm bait. But I don't want to be separated from God's love. So one of the things that Mary does is she calls us to prayer. That's why from early on, she was able to give the church a way to pray and reflect on Jesus's life, his joys, his sufferings, his gloriousness in heaven. That's why a rosary is such a spiritual weapon against the devil. And if you balk at that, then you're balking at when I have actually used the rosary against demons. It works. It is through faith, not magic. And evil is real. So it's time to wake up. Wake up to the fact that we need all the help that we can get to get to heaven. We not only need our friends, we not only need the church, we not only need the saints, we not only need Jesus, we need Mary also. So on this feast of the Dormition of our Lord, of Mary Most Holy, take time, pray. Take time, experience the blessings of the rosary. Take time to prepare yourself for heaven. Blessings, miracles, and peace to you today. God love y'all, and have a wonderful week.